Mr. Carmichael, how are you doing, my man?
Good man, how are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Let me get this microphone out of my face.
Look at that. I love it.
How are you living, brother?
Awesome man, I'm pumped. This is it. It's happening. It's real.
It's real, man. We met on you. I don't know if you remember. We met on Instagram a few months ago, and that's how I linked up with you, just by jumping on your live feed.
You got in before it got crazy. You got in before it got crazy. My wife now handles all my recurring Instagram DMs because it's just like it's almost a full-time job now responding to people.
Man, I could only imagine, dude. So I've been reading up about you. First of all, welcome to Self Mastery Radio.
This is it.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking out the time. So here at Self Mastery Radio, we just focus on encouraging people to be the best versions of themselves. So
Love
you
that.
look like somebody that's truly, I know you're still on a journey, but you look like you've truly mastered that. Tell us a little bit about how you started with your journey of self-realization.
So I think your purpose comes from your pain. Whatever you struggle the most with is going to be the thing that you will enjoy helping others through as much as possible. So my journey was struggling as an entrepreneur, being 19, having no money, making $300 a month, owning 30% of this startup that seemed to be going nowhere, and putting in tons of work and just failing. It was the lowest point in my self-confidence and my self-worth. Like I'm putting in all this work and I'm getting zero results. And I'm tying that to myself and that, well, if I'm not getting results, it means that I'm worthless, that I suck as a human. And I made it harder on myself and that I was too embarrassed and ashamed to tell my friends that I had no money because I turned down the jobs that they wanted to do this entrepreneurial thing. So I'm saying I'm living the entrepreneur life. I got to go home and hustle and grind. Meanwhile, like I got no money, man. I'm saying no because I can't afford the $20 to have pizza and beer. You know, so I just felt worthless. I eventually made it through, but that's because I struggled so much through that. For the next 20 years now, it's just been trying to help out other people not suffer as much as I suffered, because your purpose comes from your pain.
Dude, that's amazing. So you talk about entrepreneurship is something that I'm very, very proud to be. I've started out on my journey just years ago, and tell us about some of those struggles. You said you struggled in the beginning. It was hard for you to, to even pay $20 to do various things. How did you pull yourself out of that?
So it started with me hitting rock bottom, which was at a family event. It was, I don't know, it was Easter or some kind of Thanksgiving, some family event. And my partners and I were having a fight over where we should take the company and what we should do next because we're not making any money. It's not working. And it ended with me saying that I quit and I hung up the phone. Like I quit. Like I got to do something that I can feel valuable again at. Like just I just this sucks. I quit, and then I hung up the phone, and then that was the worst day of my life. As you know, crying, stuff coming out of my nose. Just I couldn't imagine myself saying that I quit because it wasn't how I identified. And so my mom came up, put her hand on my shoulder. She heard me crying. She said something, I don't remember what. Like I was too lost. I was too gone. I stayed over at their place that night, barely slept. And then the next day I woke up and said, I can't quit because I don't want to live with regret. You know, like I don't want to be 95 and look back and say, if I just pushed a little bit harder, maybe I could have made it. You know, maybe I could have done something if I just waited it out a little bit more. And so I said, you know what? I can deal with the failure. I can't deal with not knowing. So I have to know. But I can't keep going the way I'm going because this obviously is not working. What we're doing here, this can't be the path. So I have to find a different way to stand. There's a quote by Oprah that like, if it's not working, you have to find a different way to stand. Okay, what's a different way that I can stand? And I said, you know what? I can't be the first guy to try to build a software company before. Like somebody has to have figured this out. Who's built a software company? And so I just thought of Microsoft and Bill Gates. Like, okay, what did he do? And I studied what he did, And then I applied it to my business, and within a short amount of time, already closed my first deal for $13,500.
Wow.
And at the time, that was, dude, that was money.
Yeah. You
know, like, thinking about it now, 13.5K may not seem like a ton of cash, but to me, that was like game-changing money, man. And more important than that, I had a model that I could follow. Like, I could do it again. I could make more deals like that. And so that got me down the path of modeling success. Like, wow. Whenever I don't know how to do something, I want to model success. And so what have I done for the past 20 years is make videos or content, not videos all the way for 20 years, but content around modeling success. Like, if you look at my YouTube channel now, what is it about? It's looking at super successful people and saying, how can you learn from them and apply this to your business? And so, however you get out of so that was my pain, right? That was my struggle.
Yeah.
However you get out of it, how did I get out of it? Model Bill Gates. That becomes a recipe to teach other people. However you solve the pain for yourself, what isn't just happenstance, because a lot of people never get through it. You got through it. Now you can teach others how to get through it too. Your plan becomes a recipe. And so that's what I've been doing for the past decade plus, at least, is sharing how can you model success and bring that to your business.
Man, that's phenomenal. So you talk about modeling success. Now, as an entrepreneur, as somebody that's creative, you said you started with your software company. So how did you, a lot of times as creatives, we want to reinvent the wheel. And we feel like that validates that we're actually smart or creative, because we don't want to copy people. So how did you struggle with that?
I just want to say, I like your vibe, dude. It's really good. You ask good questions. I just like your vibe overall. It's great.
Thank you. Today
it's like all interview day for me, like back to back to back in 25 minutes less. And this is a refreshing change for me. So I like
Thanks,
it.
Man.
So thank you. At the first point, when I first started modeling Bill Gates, I didn't care. Like, I was at the bottom, dude. I didn't even think about that, right? It's like, I'll take anything. Like, if you called me up and said, if you danced with a hula hoop around you, and that, I would do that, man. Like, I was lost. So that wasn't – I mean, when you're at the bottom, you're naked. So,
yeah.
So you're not worried about – how people see you. Like, you're just struggling to survive.
Yeah.
So that was not a thought process, but as I've gone through it, I've recognized that you can model success, but it won't take you all the way.
Ooh, speak on it.
So it's great. I love you, dude. This is great. so you can, it'll take you, I think, like 80% of the way.
Yeah.
So here's what I see. It's like, you're trying on their hat.
Okay.
You're trying on their hat, but it won't quite fit because it's not your hat, it's their hat. So you have to make adjustments. So this is a great clip that I have on my channel of 50 Cent. He's now a producer, and like, he's taking on talent underneath him and trying to help promote them. And he was talking about how a bunch of people had sent him their albums, and they sounded exactly like Lil Wayne. Like, man, you sound exactly like Lil Wayne. Like, it's crazy. Like, if I listen to this song, I couldn't tell the difference between Lil Wayne and you.
Yeah.
But we already have a Lil Wayne. So you gotta take the talent. Like, you've learned stuff by modeling Lil Wayne, but then you've gotta turn it in. You gotta find a way to make it your own.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're an Elvis impersonator. Like, go be your own. Go be the Beatles. Don't be another Elvis. Right.
That's right.
So. You don't need to come up with everything yourself. This was the trap that I fell into. You don't need to do the whole thing by yourself. You can learn. You can model. You can see what other people have done. I think you should. I think it's smart. Like, I think if somebody wants to host a show like this, you should go study other successful shows. You should study how Oprah asks questions. You should study how Larry King asks questions. I think that's just smart. You should even take Oprah's questions and try asking them yourself. Some of them just won't feel right. Because it's Oprah.
Yeah.
She's got her style. She's honed it. She's figured that out over decades. But then by trying on the hat, it'll take you to a new level that then you can say, you know what, it doesn't quite work like this, but I can make this little tweak. Like, if I change this word up, or if I ask it in this way, now it makes sense. Now this is your style. And so I think modeling success will massively shortcut your path. I think it's the fastest way to go. Learn from the people who've done it before. but it's not going to work exactly 100%. You need to tweak it for your situation.
Now, that's powerful, brother, because now you're encouraging people to find out their unique fingerprint, right? And I'm going to ask you this. There's a school of thought where some people say, okay, well, you should only have like one or two mentors. And then there's another school of thought that says, take a little bit from everybody. Not that it's about subscriptions, but which one do you tend to lean towards personally? Do you follow one person or do you flip-flop?
I love learning different things from different people.
Yes.
So is this audio only or is there visual for your show?
Visual as well.
Okay, so I'm in my home office and you can see pictures. For those listeners, I guess there's pictures behind me on the
wall. Yeah, man.
My parents are in the middle. That's in the middle is me when I'm like 8 or 9 and my parents above me. Believe my one word, my most important core value comes from them. They taught me how to be a human. They didn't teach me about business.
That's right.
So, okay, great. I've got Steve Jobs on the wall here next to me. I like learning how to be a visionary like Steve Jobs.
Yes.
But I don't want to be a father like Steve Jobs was.
That's right.
I want to be a father like my father was.
That's right.
And so I love learning different things from different people. I think anybody who's had success, you can learn from them. And I honestly think some of your greatest learnings will come from people who you don't like, who've had success. Like, they can teach you. When you can learn to learn from someone who you don't like is when I think you actually start learning.
Wow.
And so my favorite comment of all time on my channel, I profiled a black entrepreneur, and I had a guy leave a comment and say, hey, growing up, my parents told me that black people were the N-word.
Yeah.
And today, I just learned from a black man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Because
that's
he took
it.
5 minutes to watch a video and be open. Like, hey, put your prejudices aside for 5 minutes.
That's right.
And just see if there's something here that you might learn.
Absolutely. And, you know, immediately when you said learn to learn from people that you don't like, I immediately thought about, even if you have to learn from somebody that doesn't look like you.
Yeah.
Doesn't talk like you, you know? And I think that's very powerful, man. Wow.
Yeah.
So
I think that's where your greatest learnings will come, honestly. Like,
absolutely.
I used to have a problem with Kanye West.
Mm.
I had a problem with his bravado, his ego, his confidence, his arrogance. I would lean towards like arrogance instead of confidence. Now he's on my wall. Like that last picture there is Kanye West. The first top 10 I did was Kanye West.
Mm.
First one on my channel, top 10 rules, was Kanye West.
That's amazing.
Now, it doesn't mean you have to go. There's still a lot that Kanye would do that I may not agree with.
That's
okay.
Right.
But you can learn something from him. This guy's won more Grammy Awards than anybody in history at his age. He went from being a producer to a singer to an entrepreneur. You can learn from that. Even though I'm not a rapper, even though I'm not black, even though whatever, lots of differences between me and Kanye, I love learning from Kanye.
Me too.
I think that's great.
Absolutely.
And I think if you hate him, you should make an effort to learn from him.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, this is very controversial in America. I know you're in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in America, to be a black person that favors Donald Trump is very controversial here. And although I don't agree with a lot of his policies, I can still learn something from him in the realms of business. And I tell people that when you're trying to educate yourself, you have to learn to look over another person's bias, and you also have to look over your bias against the person that's biased in order to extract that core essence that you can learn from. So I definitely agree with that.
Well, let's say you hate Trump. How can you learn from Trump? As a Canadian looking down on the election, you know, like I didn't vote. I wasn't super involved in what was happening. But if I look at Trump versus Clinton, Hillary Clinton, right? What did Donald Trump stand for? Thing that I think of is Make America Great Again and the wall.
Yeah.
Whether you love the wall or you hate the wall, it's the greatest thing of all time. It's the most racist thing of all time. Great.
Yeah.
What did Hillary Clinton stand for?
I can't remember.
Me neither.
That's the thing, and that's
the problem.
That's the problem. I told people right? that. I said I don't understand her policy. I can't remember anything. I didn't retain any of it.
So as a leader, whether you want to be a politician or not, as a leader, as an entrepreneur, as a CEO, as an executive, like, you need to have something that people can obviously say, this is what the person stands for. Now just make it good. If you hate Trump and the wall, okay, great. You need to now stand for something that you believe in.
Now, Evan,
that is easy to communicate.
Absolutely. You know, and how do you, and I was going to say this, okay, because you're somebody who is a very powerful public figure to a lot of people, myself included. Your mindset matters. So with you, you have millions of people who subscribe to not only your channel, but they tend to see the world through your eyes as well. When you're continuing to express yourself from your core, how do you continue to be authentic to yourself without being afraid of losing people that are already following you?
I want to be proud of the decisions that I make. So that's the lens that I try to make my decisions through.
Perfect.
So am I proud of myself for doing this?
Yeah.
And if it's yes, then I do it. And if it's no, then I try to summon the courage to not to do that thing. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I let myself down too. But I try to live my life through the lens of, am I proud of myself for this that I'm doing? And that what I'm proud of myself for will be different than what you are and what your audience is. But if everybody woke up and did decisions that they were proud of, I think we'd have a much different world. Wow. And so I've had people who leave my channel because I've made videos on Trump. I made videos on Clinton. The Clinton one is the most Trump disliked.
The Trump one was one of my favorites of yours as well.
Great. I mean, people are very in their bias camps, but I like that some people are crossing over. Just the willingness to learn. I think that's how you actually solve problems.
Absolutely.
Like the guy who grew up thinking black people were the N-word and now is willing to learn. Like now we're changing perspectives and
we're getting somewhere.
I didn't set out to try to solve racism, but now it's a little tiny piece of the solution.
Absolutely.
I love it. So like somebody had enough equity or confidence in me that their entire background growing up with their parents and saying like, these people are the worst humans alive and you can't learn anything from them. But Evan suggested that I watch his video. He's put up on this channel for a reason. That brief moment of confidence led this guy to watch the video and now he changed his perspective. I'm proud of that. I'm happy that I did. I'm proud of myself for that, even though I may lose some people who will say, never profile a black person on your channel. They got nothing to teach you.
That's right.
Like, I'll lose those people. Okay. But maybe I'll convert some of them over.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
And it's very common that this is part of my ninja whole strategy behind the channel that's evolved. My ninja strategy is people come in who to find people who look like them. It just is like guys who gravitate towards guys, women towards women, tech entrepreneurs towards tech, all of it. Whoever's like you, you want to go and learn. It's just natural.
Yeah.
But I want to have those people bring you in and then introduce other people who don't look like you, who don't come from the same industry or the same background, and challenge you to try to learn from that person. I think that's where the real learning comes. And I think that's where tolerance and understanding and patience is built.
Well, it's how I found you. You know, there's a stigma on Canadians that you guys are some of the nicest people in the world. And okay. So when I wanted to incorporate that characteristic in myself, I started studying Canadians. Absolutely. And I just found it to be something very beneficial. There's a software company called Vendesta in Canada. And some of those guys and I have a great relationship. It's funny because, you know, I have a software company. I'm in my office now. And I didn't know that about you until I got ready to do a little bit of research about your personal life, because I've been watching your videos for a while. But anyway, Do you feel, even though that's a positive stigma on Canadians, do you feel obligated to hold up that standard? Or is that just your nature, man? It's just to be who you are.
I mean, I think I feel obligated to hold up my standard for myself.
Oh, wow.
That's what I like. Am I proud of myself for my decisions?
Yeah.
That's what I run my filter through. And if I had to evaluate, like, for the past week, what did I do that I'm proud of versus not proud of? That's if I did something that was against my country, but I'm proud of, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, like if my prime minister does something that is, negative, I'm me. I'm trying to do my best to create content that's going to help the world. You know, I can't speak for every Canadian. I think the thing that helps make us, especially especially like Toronto, where I'm from, the biggest city in Canada, we all grow up with people from, you're multicultural just by being in the city. Like, we're a nation of
Wow.
immigrants.
Yeah.
Everybody's from somewhere else. There aren't very many Canadians from 10 generations. And
Yeah.
so you grow up, you don't need multicultural training. Like, you just got every culture in the world sitting right next to you. And so you already grew up learning how to communicate and be nice and get along and do all that stuff. So, I don't know. I love Canada. I love my country, but I don't wear it on my shirt. I wear my logo on my shirt. I wear Evan Carmichael on my shirt, you
I
know? Like,
love that.
I'm first, and then my family, and then my country.
Now, I live in South Georgia, and in South Georgia, I'm not gonna just reserve that for South Georgia, but I'm gonna say a lot of people tend to say put others before you put yourself. And for me, I've always thought that wasn't the necessary correct way for me to operate. I know that when I put myself first, when I take care of my health, and when I make sure that I'm living in alignment with my dreams, I serve others better then versus putting them first and then me suffering. And so for you, has that been something that's been natural to you? I know you say it's all about, you want to feel good about yourself, but did it come natural, or did you have to learn that?
I think it's all learned behavior. I think my parents started me off early with just how they lived and being an inspiration. I think humans are built to serve, period. Like, I think if you're not happy in life, it's because you're not serving somebody.
Gotcha.
And some people are built to serve the world. Like, chances are the two of us, we're built to serve. We want to have a big impact. We want our reach to be wide. We have a message that needs to be heard.
Yeah.
But some people are just built to serve the 25 closest people to them. My
Perfect.
wife is more like, that's it. She's still in contact with her friends from kindergarten, but doesn't have a message that she wants to share with the world. But
That's
she's still
right.
built to serve. And if you're not happy, because you're not serving others. So it's the same thing. When you're happy, you're capable of serving more people. When you're growing, when you've taken another step on the staircase, you can pull more people up to join you on that step. But if you stay at the ground level, you can only help people with things you've gone through and grown through.
Right.
So the more you grow and learn, the more you can pull people up and help them. And that's ultimately what's gonna, like I said, your purpose comes from your pain. The more you struggle and suffer and then grow, the more you'll be able to help other people go through that same thing. So I see them as the same thing. Investing in yourself and learning and getting better and struggling allows you then to help others. But it's based off of a default premise that people are good, like, I believe humans are good, and that we're built to serve.
That's
And that
amazing.
if somebody's doing something that's negative or wrong or insulting, or imagine if you assume that, for example, in LA, everything in my car was stolen. I was on my tour. They stole my gear, my signs, my wallet, my phone. Like, they stole everything in the car. Giant Suburban raided
Wow.
in a private parking lot. I think those people are good people who are built to serve. Like, whoever stole from my car, They're good people who are built to serve. I just believe that. I think like 99% of people, more than that, are good. I think we have a tiny little percentage of people who enjoy killing people. Like yeah. They've got a little something's wrong.
Yeah.
But I think the people who stole from me are good people who are built to serve.
They thought they were doing the right thing based on their circumstances, probably.
Well, listen, if I was broke and homeless on the street, I couldn't guarantee you that I wouldn't steal from a car or steal a banana or steal something. I don't know.
I've never been in that
situation. We're so quick to judge.
That's right. We've never been in that situation before.
I've never been homeless on the street and like desperately hungry. I couldn't tell you I wouldn't steal. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it switches it, because if somebody's really negative, they leave a nasty comment on your video or they steal from you or they do something negative. If you assume that they're a good person who wants to serve, but then they're acting in this way, how much does their life have to suck?
Mm.
And then it switches then from anger to empathy.
Yeah, I love that, man. Love that.
Now I feel bad. Like, I feel bad for this person. I feel sorry for this person. Now that negative comment, if the highlight of their day is coming to your YouTube channel or podcast and leaving a negative comment, how bad does their life have to be right now? I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but not in a humorous, like, you suck. Just like, man, I feel bad. Like, wow. This is your life. Your life has to suck.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. That's pain that's making them behave that way. Now, Evan, I respect your time, man. I know that you have a busy schedule. You wrote a book, and it's called One Word. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Your one word, yeah.
Your one word. And your one word that I've noticed a lot is believe.
Yeah.
And so, Evan, now that you've written a book called One Word, let me ask you, what's your one book? Your one book that you can recommend outside of your own that is powerful and you'll stand by it.
For me, it's like picking a video. It's circumstantial.
Mm.
What are you going through that you need advice on? Because there's lots of great books, but what are you struggling with to give the best? So if you – here's the thing. You ask a generic question, you're going to get a generic answer. So,
that's right.
You know, a book that really served me at the time was The 4-Hour Workweek. I loved it. It reshaped my thinking, not around working less, but around being more productive and bringing on a team and outsourcing and hiring. It served me for where I was at, but maybe the worst book of all time for somebody else.
You know, that's right? My thing. Like, it was – I read that book, man, and I said, this is it. Like, this is what I want right here. And I found a way to make it happen. So yeah, I believe it or not, that's the answer I was looking for when it came to what one book, because it's based on your circumstances for sure.
Same thing with the video. Like, you found me through the Donald Trump video.
Yeah.
If you asked me like what video should you watch, if I said go watch the Donald Trump video, for a lot of people it'd be like, what are you? I hate that. No, right? But
yeah.
You gotta be ready for the message from the right person. Right. So there's no one video or one book that I think everybody absolutely needs to read. It's what are you going through? Just like when you went to school, you had to study a whole bunch of stuff that is gone now.
Yeah.
But for some people, like, that's the thing. So reading the book just because isn't going to help you. You have to want to learn the material in the book.
Powerful. Powerful, my man. So tell us before you go what you're working on, where your vision is headed. Just let us know anything that's important to you.
Where are you based? You said Georgia?
Yeah. What city? I'm in Valdosta, Georgia.
How close are you to Atlanta?
I'm 3.5 hours south of Atlanta.
What's the closest big city that you're in? Is Atlanta the closest big city?
You got Atlanta, and then you have Jacksonville, Florida. So
how far are you from Jacksonville?
I'm like 1.5 hours from Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Okay, so here's why I'm asking. I'm writing a new book,
yeah.
And I want to do a 2020 tour. We're doing East Coast, Texas, in Monterrey, Mexico.
Yeah.
We're hitting cities with 1 million-plus people, so we're definitely hitting Atlanta. Jacksonville, I don't know if it has 1 million-plus people.
You know, Atlanta is, for me, that's a skip and a hop. I'm in Atlanta all the time.
Okay. So maybe I'll see you in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We do round two.
Man, that'll be amazing. You let me know. Are the dates on your website?
No, not yet. I'm selling my book. Like in the next couple of weeks, I'm getting the book out to publishers. Got to pick my publisher, all that kind of stuff.
What's the new book name? The title?
Can't say the title yet.
All right.
but it's basically the process of helping people find out who they are, what their purpose is, how to get out of it, and then how to make money doing it. A lot of the stuff we talked about today.
Brilliant, man. Yeah. Thank you for your time, Evan. I really appreciate it. What's your website? What's your YouTube?
Just look up Evan Carmichael. You'll find me.
You'll get it. All right, my man. Talk to you soon, brother. Much love,
brother. Thank you for the breath of fresh air.
Yes, sir. Cheers. Thank you, brother. Peace.
Bye, Robbie.